And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're going to have open lines now for the next 3 hours for you. I've got to tell you something. I have done well over 5,000 interviews in my life. 5,000 interviews. That's a lot of people. It's a lot of interviews. Every interview that I've done in my career, I've come into work, I've had energy, even though I may have had a cold or you heard me muffled. I always just carried through. I could do anything with those 5,000 interviews. Always here. This is the first time that I have truly felt like I was going to pass out. This was the first time I felt like I'm going to black out if I keep doing this interview. This was the strangest, eeriest feeling I have ever had. Now, I just went to my fast blasts, and I'm getting the same thing. Hundreds of people feeling ill again. It is weird. And so I've got to go to open lines. I mean, his issues, the Maitreya issues, I'm not sure if he's the chosen one or the Antichrist. I don't know. But there's something weird about this. And my, oh, my, oh, my. We'll have open lines for you in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to the open line portion of Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. Let me read some of the emails I got regarding Ramon Grace, last night's guest for the first hour, when he did that experiment to energize water. It says, George, our tap water in Bonners Ferry, Idaho, is chlorinated, really bad, has high acid count, as they are replacing water pipes in town, and we live just about 2 blocks from our city water tower. We put a pitcher of water and a glass of water by the radio and follow the instructions. Participants, my wife, daughter, myself, and we also have filters to help. We can't believe how great the water tasted. That's from Herb. Here's Angie. George, I was one of the many people who had a glass of water by my speakers while Ramon Grace started his intention. For the last 2 weeks, I've been brushing my teeth with bottled water as an experiment. After using this tasteless bottled water and getting used to it, I could taste the chemicals in my Studio City tap water. And so I've decided to always use the bottled water for brushing. Well, tonight, after Ramon's segment, the tap water in my glass has no chemical taste. It seems as tasteless as the water from the bottle. Rich in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I had placed a glass of water in front of me, and Raymond energized it. At first, I smelled the chlorine, and after drinking a couple of sips, the smell was gone. The taste was a lot better. Amazing, he says. Sal writes, I don't do things like this, but I put some water in a crystal glass. It sparked in spirits as your guest spoke. I thought it was just a reflection from TV, but it no longer is doing this. Just wondering, it seems to work for me. And then WC, and I've got more of these. I'm not going to read them all. Just this one, last one. Mr. Norrie, I do not, just call me George next time you write. I do not know how or why, but having had a large glass of water energized by Mr. Grace last evening, I sipped the water prior to falling asleep. I woke with almost no pain in my stomach, feet, joints. Greater pain is something I've been accustomed to over 3 years now. A loyal listener. Isn't that something? All over the country. Open lines, let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to Mansfield, Ohio, east of the Rockies. Daniel, get us started.
Yes, hi, George. Hi. I just had a question. Just wondered if you heard any updates on your time-traveling guy.
John Teeter?
Yeah.
Nothing yet. I checked in with Oliver Williams, who heads up the JohnTeeter.com website. He continues to monitor situations and stories. But as far as John Teeter's concerned, the futurist John Teeter from 2036 is nowhere to be found or seen. However, there is a little boy now, the actual John Teeter, apparently, living somewhere in the Midwest, growing up as we speak. But nothing else new. Robert in Houston, Texas, first-time caller. Hey, Robert, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Last time I called, I didn't get a chance to finish about these ghost entities that visit me out on the security post.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. And go back a little bit. Review for everybody.
Okay. I was out one night, a little past Humble, Texas, out at a construction site. Now, I parked on this parking lot that's right across from the construction site, maybe about 2 weeks while I was out there, and I didn't notice I was on a small graveyard all that time. So I kind of nodded off a little bit that night. And I kind of, you know, just looked up, and then there was this family. And I thought it was just somebody that walked back there and wanted to ask some questions. That, you know, I get that every now and then. But come to find out, these folks, and I can't remember, it was a male, there was a woman, and there was a child, and there was a dog.
Huh.
And I just didn't know how to take this. But they said, well, they stole our land and our fruits and vegetables. I was like, what the heck is going on? I shook my head a little bit, and then they were gone, just like that. As I questioned it, the reason they were there, they disappeared.
And you didn't feel scared at all, Robert?
No, I didn't feel scared at all. That's the weirdest thing. But, I've always been a dreamer, and I've always believed in spirits and ghosts and all that stuff. So I guess that's probably why I wasn't so frightened. And so then, I said, oh, well, I just took it off, and I said, got back to work. And shortly after that, maybe about 30 seconds or so, or maybe a minute, they came back. And I just kind of looked there, and then I turned around on my passenger seat. The little girl was sitting in my passenger seat. I said, what the heck? They didn't look deformed. They looked like regular folks. I just put two and two together that, you know, I was there on where they were buried, and maybe that was their land at the time.
Could you see through them?
No, I couldn't see through them at all. No, they were like a solid folks, you know, and it was real weird. And I knew that they came back to let me know that it was real. That's why they came back in 30 seconds or a minute. I don't know if they gave me a chance to gather myself.
What do you think they want?
They wanted to let me know that they had some land took from them, probably back in the slavery days, because there's a lot of old plantations out near that area.
Yeah.
And they probably were buried right there on that little small graveyard. I don't know why they chose me to tell that, but I was chosen. And this has been with me for the longest. And I haven't quite figured out why did they choose me. That's my biggest. I'm not so much curious about are there ghosts. I know that there are spirits out there. But really what freaked me out is that the dog was there with them. Did they bury the dog there too?
They must have.
That was pretty weird. But that stayed with me, and it's still with me. And my biggest question is, why did they choose me?
Well, one day, Robert, you'll find out. Have a good night. He lives there in Houston, home of ZZ Top. Of course, they're all over the place, but that's where they were from. Let's go to San Jose, west of the Rockies. Mike, you're with us. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good.
You feeling a little better?
Oh, my gosh, I was getting woozy.
Oh, well, I'm sorry he couldn't hang out, because I really wanted to ask him and maybe just get your take.
Sure.
Is when in World War II, with the release of the Antichrist energy, I wonder how the masters viewed the role of the United States and how they view our country in general, because we were very giving, despite our you know, some of the problems we have with politics. We have a general sense of giving and caring that we shared with the world, you know. I just wonder what their take on our country is.
Well, you know, I think based on what he was saying, they're kind of pushing everybody more toward this UN mandate, this one world government, this, you know, we're all in this together. And you know what? I don't mind helping other countries. I think we should be the first ones, too, and we are. But I don't want us to give up our own sovereignty.
No, I get a little queasy about that,
yeah,
too.
Me, too.
All right. Thanks for your time.
Okay. Maybe that explains why I was getting a little queasy myself. Dallas, Texas, we go east of the Rockies. Hey, Lawrence, go ahead.
Hi. Hey, George, you were kind of wondering why you might have been getting a little queasy. And I just thought I would offer a quick little explanation,
sure,
if you don't mind. I had a situation at a time where I was working at a job where there were a lot of people of a particular religious denomination. There's no need for me to say which one that
is.
But nevertheless, I had, I think, given a group of them the wrong impression. And I believe that a number of them would normally meet, you know, I don't know if it was after lunch or I guess it was after lunch. And they would meet, and I believe, this is just my personal belief, but at around the same time every day, after I had given them what in my opinion was the wrong impression about me, I began to feel at the same time every day this just wretched feeling, this really down sort of feeling.
Yeah.
And I actually went to the management, and I said, well, you know, can I get, you know, a reduction in hours and all of this stuff? And eventually I just had to leave the job. And I mean, I had gotten a pay raise and all this stuff, but it really wasn't any fun. And as I thought about it later, I just had to wonder if people had been, you know, praying, quote, for me, you know.
Well, did you feel what I felt when Benjamin was on the air?
Well, I did not. I must be honest with you.
All right.
So that's just, I just wanted to provide you with an explanation. And I think that if there are a variety of people who are directing their intention in some particular fashion, and you happen to be at the nexus of that,
yeah,
well,
bang.
It's only natural, bang, right?
I take the brunt of it. I mean, he sounds like a nice guy, but man, it was weird. John in California, wildcard line. Hey, John. Good morning.
Hey, George. I've been meaning to call you and present this to you on one of your Fridays, but I'd never get around to doing it. Now I am. You know, you've talked in the past, you've had people on, and we've discussed, I say we discussed because I listened to you, discussion how people, you know, our bodies were capable of living to be 150 or, you know, or down the road, you know, we might live to be, you know, all these people live to be, allegedly live to be 200 years old and things like that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I was just thinking one day when I was listening to that, if we had that ability these days, think about how it would change the way we approach life. For example, if you know, if your life expectancy was 200 instead of 74 or something like that, you'd probably be less apt to fly on airplanes because, you know, if you go down in a crash when you're 50, you're losing maybe 20, 25 years.
Sure.
Right? But if you're 50, you're supposed to live to 200, then that's 150 years you're missing out. Maybe you wouldn't let your kid play football because, you know, a knee injury or some kind of crippling injury would have that much more of a long-term impact. So if we have to examine the longer we want to live, also all the other ancillary you know, results of that ramification.
Good point.
I mean, you know, if you could live to be 150 years old, would you want to go fly? You know, would you want to go and drive 70 on the highway?
You got
to
pace yourself.
Well, because you know the risk of not living 100 more years versus not living 20 more years based on average. You know.
Do you think we become
life insurance would have a different approach? You know.
Would you think we become more reckless as we get older?
No, I think we become less reckless. Become more careful, because the risk. The risk reward. If you know, if your kid goes play football and has a crippling knee injury, for example, there's always a chance he'll be starting for USC or something, you know, and you have the NFL career in your mind. But would you be willing to put him through that if, you know, old age was actually 80?
Yeah, good point.
I mean, middle age would be 80, and you know, you could live to be 150. It's just a concept I thought of. How if the longer we live, if we could actually live that long, how much would change all the other aspects of society?
This sounds like the Highlander.
Cars, you know, everything you do.
Would you want to live that long?
If I could live healthily, yeah.
And but still function. And
you live as long as I can live. You know, I don't want to be, you know, 95 and unhealthy, but I like to be 95 and, you know, and live as long as
at least have the same energy you have now and everything else.
Yeah, you know, my goal, George, is because is to live as long in the 21st century as I did in the 20th. And in order to do that, I got to live to be 95. So that's my goal, you know.
Go for it.
But if that was middle age, you know, you'd be less apt, I think, to take, you know, let your kids play certain kind of sports.
Well, some people would not be risk takers at that point.
Maybe less.
Yeah.
And most people would. I just wanted to throw that out there. Next time we talk about longevity, maybe you could throw that theoretical question out to people.
Interesting. All right. Thanks, John. I you know, and you talk about time, by the way. Everyone I know who has had a motorcycle, for example, has been injured, hurt, or dead. One of our engineers here at the network, nice guy, comes hobbling in last week, shoulder broken, arm broken, leg broken, motorcycle accident. You know what? I would bet that if there were 10 people out there who are motorcyclists, 8 of them have been in some kind of accident. I'm just throwing those statistics out. There's no science behind it. Let's go to Ray in South Dakota, Yankton, you're up with us on the wild card line. Hey, Ray. Welcome
to
the show. Yeah.
You were talking about how you got to the point of almost passing out or something.
Yeah.
This guy. I was listening to him, and I thought I was all alone on this. I started saying, I hate his guts. I hate his guts. I hate his guts. And that's not usual for me. You know?
You were getting evil.
Well, I didn't. There's something about him that just made me sick.
But I bet you're not a guy who hates.
No, I don't. No, I don't. But if you were getting to the point of passing out, you said you got hundreds of fast blasts,
yep,
of people. I felt the same way. And I do not hate. That was just weird.
And as soon as he got off the line, I kept getting stronger again.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of felt that way, too. Yeah. I thought it was just me.
Nobody
was talking about anything, and I just, you know, I just thought, why do I hate this guy? Why can't I stand this guy? I couldn't believe it. But anyway, that's all I wanted to
say. So I guess you wouldn't go out and have a drink with him, huh?
No, I don't think so.
All right, thanks. Next up, we'll go to Troy, Ohio, east of the Rockies. Hey, Tom, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Now, not to make light of any situation, but when something is very newsworthy, why or how would the tapes be erased? And I just find it suspect that the original, wherever you stand on the moon landing, that the original moon landing NASA tapes would be erased. I mean, how?
I know what. One could say gross stupidity, and as you know, I don't believe in coincidences. I think things happen for a reason.
Well, that's correct. But let's keep in mind that these are this was recorded back in the 60s. These are big reel-to-reel tapes. It's not like a VHS or a beta tape like we had in the 80s,
right,
where some kid's second grade confirmation is re-recorded over it. And
I know.
I find it very suspect where, you know, these big reel-to-reel tapes just are erased, and then somehow they're washed, quote-unquote washed, and now preserved for posterity after they've been, digitally enhanced.
What's your theory, Thomas? What do you think?
My theory is, you know, I'd like to believe, like you do, Mr. Norrie, I'd like to believe that we actually went to the moon, but people in my generation lean to the fact that we just simply didn't have the technology and that this was a concocted, well-made movie at the time. We don't know where it was shot, but it was well-made. I think that director from Eyes Wide Shut, he's gone now, Stanley Kubrick,
yeah.
Right. And that in the movie, in the film itself, people who subscribe to this theory claim to see guide wires and hiccups in the photography or the director style of the day that would give it away, indicating that it was concocted. And that now that these tapes have been so quote-unquote washed or erased and digitally enhanced, that evidence is gone. Along the same lines of not having a plane photographed going into the Pentagon.
What I think, yeah, there's no question, Tom, that we went to the moon. I think they're hiding something that they saw on those tapes. You know, I've talked to too many astronauts, and I trust one as much as anybody I know, Edgar Mitchell. We went to the moon, but what was on those tapes? What did they see? I think that's what they were trying to hide. We'll be back. You know, Benjamin Krem was talking about Yasser Arafat, and though a noble cause to help the plight of the Palestinian people who truly deserve a homeland, Yasser Arafat stole millions of dollars from his own people that should have been earmarked to helping them with food, health care, and so much more. Peter Lantz, you know him as the author of Triple Cross. Well, a two-hour PowerPoint presentation will air on booktv.org this weekend, Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on his story, Triple Cross. So go ahead and take a look at it. Fascinating. booktv.org. And you've got open lines tonight right here on Coast to Coast. Let's go to Federal Way, Washington. Tyler on the wild card line. Tyler, good morning.
What's going on, George?
Well, life is good. It is now, at least. What's up?
Yeah. Well, I originally actually wanted to call to talk about the guests a little bit, but I'll tell the story first.
Yeah, okay, your phone's crackling on me, so...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, so far.
Okay, well...
Nah, I tell you what, we're going to put you on hold. We'll try to get you a better line, okay? Let's go to Danny in Covina, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Danny.
Hey, George. I want to talk about some dates for Jupiter. July 16th to the 21st back in 97, it got struck by comets like all those days in a row. And just recently on July 20th, I think it was struck again. Those dates are important to me, too, because I was back in 2000 in Mammoth. It was July 18th or something like that in 2000.
Yep.
I think there's something with that date because I had an experience of teleportation twice in one day on that day, too, back in 2000. And I just always look for that day to come around because it's like on my mind when it comes around.
Do you look forward to the date?
Well, sometimes, like on the 11th this month, I was looking forward to like the 16th to the 21st time. And I wrote a friend an email because it's their birthday around that time. And I said, you know, I always remember your birthday because it's like the time when Jupiter was struck by those comets. And then like on the 21st, you know, there's a news report about Jupiter getting struck by a comet again. Like the impact was the size of Earth. But I just think it's kind of a special, for some reason, things happen to that planet or anything. I don't know, just a time when seems like
a
special date.
We're going to open up a no coincidence hotline next hour, and I got to tell you, it is strange. I mean, exactly the same period, years apart, comets hit Jupiter. I mean, who knows about the date, but there's something weird going on. There's no doubt about that. Let's go to Tyler. We'll get you back now, Federal Way. There you go. Let's see if we've got a better line for you, Tyler.
Yeah, I'm back, George. Well,
there you go.
I got an interesting little story, but first I'd like to just, you know, tell you and all the listeners out there that I'm not the type of person that would lie about anything. You know, I'd rather suffer than lie. So before I tell a story, I'd like to tell everybody that. But
okay. If not, we will pull your fingernails out of your fingers.
I give you permission. You can pull my finger and my toenails. But anyways, it was a real late night. You know, I was coming home. I can't remember where I was coming from. It was real dark, real foggy outside. You couldn't see maybe more than 10 to 15 feet in front of the car. And I was going down my hill, and, you know, I shouldn't have been, but I was speeding. And I'd say probably maybe 30 yards before I got to my driveway, all of a sudden I seen these two glowing figures, probably about 7 feet tall. They're about maybe, you know, a couple feet, you know, off the ground. And they're just sitting there. And, you know, of course, I immediately slowed down. But I didn't slow down that much. And then they lunged at me, you know, like, I don't know, kind of flinched at me, lunged forward.
Yeah.
And so at that point, you know, that kind of scared me. They weren't scary figures. They were glowing, you know, just.
Sure. But it was the whole episode that scared you.
Yeah, it was just, I don't think scared is the word. I think just completely mesmerized. So I, you know, went to the opposite side of the road. I was going maybe 5 miles an hour. And, you know, approaching the figures, they disappeared. And where they were at on the road was these two kids, two little kids. And, you know, I didn't even think about it. I thought that was just the weirdest thing. Pulled into my driveway, and all of a sudden these kids follow me. And they followed me all the way into my driveway. And I opened my car, and they were asking if I had seen their dog. And so they didn't know I couldn't see them. They were waving me down in the middle of the street in the fog, trying to see if I had seen their dog.
You would have smashed right into them.
Oh, yeah. I was going pretty fast. I would have smashed right into them.
Oh, your life would have been so different, Tyler.
It would have changed my life. It would have changed their lives. And not to mention, it would have changed a lot of people's lives through the ripple effect of that entire happening.
You weren't drinking, were you?
No, I wasn't drinking.
Okay, you would have been, at least they wouldn't have got you on that. But, and the fact you were in the fog, you know, it's possible that, you know, I'm not sure you would have gotten manslaughter, but you could have.
I wouldn't have gotten in trouble because, you know, they were on a main street. But the thing is it would have changed their lives, their parents' lives, their friends' lives, everybody's lives. And on top of that, I mean, it was a good thing I didn't hit those kids. But it completely changed my entire perspective on life. You know, It opened my eyes to something outside of myself, helped me to be selfless, and helped me to go down a path of righteousness to try to help other people to see what I see, you know?
What did you conclude about those two glowing entities?
I've spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours thinking about what they could have been, where they would have come from. They're always with, you know, I've come to the conclusion that I'm stuck with them and they're stuck with me, because no matter what happens, they're always with me. You know what I'm saying? I guess I could just consider them my guardian angels, because they're, you know, they're sort of an extension of me now. They're any decision I make, anything I think, any way I encounter a person, they're always right there in the back of my head. And every thought, every good conclusion, any kind of meditation about God or a higher being or anything like that, it all goes back to them. So, you know, I thank God for that entire experience. And, you know, I don't know. It was just, that's something I've been wanting to tell you guys for a long time.
Let me tell you something, Tyler. That was an awakening. And as you say, it'll follow you for the rest of your life. Probably a miracle. Los Angeles we go. Mike, you are up with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Michael.
Hi, George. You know, I've been wanting to call in. I'm concerned about Mr. Team Boone Pickens and his energy salvation plan for the United States.
I think he's starting to back out of that now, isn't he?
Just 5 or 6 years ago, he was going around on talk shows, one in particular, Charlie Rose, he was on a couple times. And he promoted this oil tar sand, which he said he owned a controlling interest in Alberta, Canada. And I have no doubt that there's oil up there, but he made the statement that there was 20 to 30 times the oil up there than there was in all of Saudi Arabia when they opened it up after World War II, which would be a huge amount.
Yes, if it's true.
And well, so what if that's true, what he promoted back then, where's the oil and why should we trust him now?
Well, you know, the couple arguments for and against the guy. One is, you know, we want to drain everybody else before we pop up and start doing our own digging once again. There's always that possibility. I've always long suspected that. There's the other theory that I've always thought of, and that is this planet has an abundance of oil. That oil just didn't come from plankton and fossil fuels and things like that. Oil is part of this planet. I had a story last night that a group of researchers had done some experimenting with methane, crushing it under what it would be like under 60 miles of Earth in the mantle. And sure enough, oil comes, methane, and propane, and all this other butane and everything else. So I don't know. It's just very possible they just haven't developed it. Near Montana, there's supposed to be oil reserves that would rival Saudi Arabia. I just think maybe the oil companies are a little smarter than we think, and they probably just want to grab as much as they can, and then they'll start drilling later. But I do think there's an abundance of oil on this planet. Not that we should continue using it as a fuel source by any means, but I think there's a lot. We don't seem to be running out yet, do we? Let's go to York, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Hello, Don. You're up.
Hello, George. Good to talk to you.
Sure thing.
Hey, I wanted to tell you about a horrible experience I had about 30 years ago. First of all, just want to say that when I dream, as I'm waking up, the memories of that dream quickly begin to fade. And then when I'm fully awake, I can only remember fragments. So this incident, I don't think was a dream. Because if it was, I couldn't distinguish it from reality.
Okay.
But what happened was one night my wife and I went to bed, nothing unusual. Sometime in the middle of the night, I was awakened by the sound of my patio door sliding open. And it sounded like somebody creeping down the hallway. And in the hallway, there was a nightlight. And as the sound drew closer, a shadow was cast upon the hallway hallway wall.
Ooh.
And I propped myself up on my elbow, and suddenly a silhouetted figure appeared in my bedroom doorway. Door was open, and I was frozen with fear. I couldn't move, and I noticed that this figure was holding some type of a pipe or a club or possibly a bat.
Yikes.
In his hands, and he rushed at me, and struck me in the forehead, and everything went black. And then there was ringing in my ears, and then everything just kind of faded to a red and then a bright white. And next thing I know, I opened my eyes, and it was daylight. And the birds were singing outside, but there was still this ringing in my ear and this pressure on my forehead.
And were you indeed clubbed in the head?
Well, I just don't know, George. I mean,
no, everything... I mean, did you have any bruises or anything like that?
No, no bruises, just a slight pressure in my forehead.
Huh.
And this ringing just kind of faded away. And everything was just as it was. Normally, when I went to bed, my wife was still laying there with her back to me. And I'm thinking, you know, I didn't know about shadow people until, I started listening to your show about 4 years ago. And I'm wondering if I was attacked by a shadow person.
We don't hear a lot of reports of being attacked by shadow people, but you could have been attacked by some kind of an entity, to be sure. There's no doubt about that. The big question is, why?
Well, I don't know if shadow people can physically attack you or not, but they sure can scare the hell out of you.
I tell me about that. Thanks a lot. Let's move on to Lee in Longmont, Colorado, west of the Rockies. Lee, how are you?
Hi, George. How you doing?
Good.
Listen, I should have called you a long time ago, but I was a coward, to tell the truth. Occasionally, I'm giving glimpse of future events, but normally it's local.
Mm-hmm.
Twice I've been shown things far out, like the last time was the train accident a couple of years ago. And before that, well, I was out of body, and I was taking a great distance at a great speed. And when we stopped, all I could see was water. And so I did a slow 360, just looking and looking, and there was just water. So I asked the obvious question. I said, where am I, and why am I here? And I didn't get a response, so I did another slow 360 all the way around. And when I got completely around, I was shown Ayers Rock. And I didn't think to, well, like I said, I didn't believe it, and I thought I was nuts until I heard Dr. Rand on your show the other, some time ago. And I, listening to him talking about the gravitational nodes, I realized that this is a great possibility, and I had a responsibility to tell you.
So what else do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's either what, when, or where. Sometimes I know one or two, but not all three. I know where. I don't know what, but I know the end result.
And you don't know when?
Don't know when.
That's the clincher. Okay. Well, look, I'm glad you at least told us about it.
Thank you, George.
All right.
Love your show. Bye.
Okay. You take care. Atlantic City, New Jersey. Chris, you're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi, Chris.
Hello, George. Awesome show. George, I just wanted you to expand on maybe what you thought. You made your comments about what they might or might not have seen on the, on the moon landing. I know that nothing is definitive or anything like that, but or some of your thoughts on maybe what they could have seen. And I have another small thing to ask you after that.
Okay,
if
sure. We'll keep you on. Well, a couple things. One is they could have seen nothing. They could have gone to the moon, and they've seen exactly what we see in arid places, and that's just nothing. Pockets of craters.
There's no coincidences, and, I mean, there's got to be something deeper than that. You
see,
know?
I think if mankind is much older than we know it to be. And I think it is. I think Michael Cremo, who comes on this program and talks about civilizations being hundreds of millions of years older, I think it's very possible we've already been to the moon a long time ago. They may have seen things. They may have seen the ships that would go to the moon at that time. Or huts that were built, or
evidence of past habitation, or
past
something.
Habitation, not necessarily ET, but maybe from us.
Right.
And I just don't think they want us to know.
Well, sure. No, that they would definitely keep that dark.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. Another thing, I called you. I got cut off a couple weeks ago. I called you up with a really neat ghost story about getting onto an elevator with an older couple, and when the doors closed, they weren't there anymore.
I remember that. No, you came right up to the top of the hour, but you've got a few minutes here, so go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, just your thoughts on that. Remember, me and my buddy, we saw an older couple get on the elevator. We ran up. The doors reopened before the elevator moved. We got on, and nobody was there. you've had so much more experience than this with me. What do you think? Was I seeing a past memory, like, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know. Well, let me qualify that. I don't know.
I understand that. I'm asking for your guest best.
You know what?
Your best guess or whatever.
I don't think. Did your buddy see this too?
Absolutely. And that was all the right thing. And the thing was, he described them to me. Like I said, did you see that? And he said, he was the one that said to me, do you mean the older couple? And I mean, that's what gave me complete goosebumps. And I mean, let me know that he saw exactly what I saw.
They had to be ghosts. I don't think you created it or he created it and you each saw it. I think they had to be ghosts.
But as in ghosts, do you mean like spirits in the present, like right then and there? Or maybe we were seeing something that happened. Like I said, this hotel had been open for 40-some years, and the same people would book the same rooms for the same time every summer. Do you think we were seeing something from the past? Or
probably.
Or maybe, yeah, okay.
Probably the couple would go there. They had great memories. And they don't want to leave.
Oh, okay. So actually, it was in the present, and that was just their time, and whatever, you know, whatever, they just decided, you know, that was their time or whatever.
And they're now checking in, Chris, and they don't have to pay anything. They don't have to give their credit cards.
That was beautiful. And you know what? That was not, like I said, I was only 18 or 19 at the time, and that was not a scary experience for me, and that set the tone for me for the rest of my life about not being scared. And listen, I know that there's evil entities and stuff like that.
Sure.
But as far as like running the mill, things like that, and it gave me a higher sense of afterlife and stuff like that. That was just awesome. But okay, I really appreciate your comments and I love your show. You do wonders for the swing shift people here on the East Coast.
I love it. Thanks, Chris. And we'll be back in just a moment. And I'm going to open up a hotline. I'll tell you about it in just a few seconds. Simply said, there are no coincidences. And you'll understand why when we come back.